With that, we do bless you, Father, that we may cast all our burdens upon you, for you careth for us. So we bring them to the altar tonight. Every heartache, every oppressive spirit, every pressing from the powers of darkness, we bring it before the altar of our Father. And we plead the blood of Messiah, the Lamb of Israel. Every heavy heart, every bowed down head, every troubled spirit, we bring the burdens of those things upon the altar. For we are not able to bear them, Father. And you have, through Messiah, given us sufficient power, understanding, and knowledge to know that you are able to do all things. For you declared that you will bring him forth by the virgin birth. And he will come forth in the excellence of your spirit and anointing. And you sent him to the grave. And he declared by the power of prophecy that in 3 days he shall rise again. And he got up out of the grave. And he delivered unto us all power and victory over the powers of hell. We believe it, Father. We don't care what the pagans say with their ritualistic worship and their rituals. You say that that is a pagan form of birth, that all the gods came that way. But I say to them and all their pagan gods, the third day Messiah got up. Buddha didn't get up. Muhammad didn't get up. But Messiah got up out of the grave. And he declared himself to be the Son of Yahweh. Now the power of holiness, the cleanliness of your spirit, and the righteousness of your law that he abided in. So we receive that true blessing. We have hope in the resurrection. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then there is no faith. For we shall rise again. Those that are dead shall rise first. We that are alive and remaining shall be caught up. We are simple enough to believe that, Father. We don't want to master things on this earth. We want to live simple and believe the simple truth. We do not want to complex it, to make it hard to understand the hermeneutics and the hermeneutics. We simply want to obey the simplicity of your truth by faith. We thank you tonight. We bless you. Bless all the hearts of your people here gathered. And let thine anointing rest upon your truth tonight, we ask in Messiah's name. And all the saints declare with a hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. What a good thing today to know him. There's one thing that the enemy does. He constantly battles against our minds as to walk in truth, for that is the integrity of the Father. And so he is constantly warned against that integrity to draw us away from the simplicity of truth. He has not made this message complex for us not to understand. That is why he sent forth Messiah in the form of a man, that he may suffer and endure every affliction and trial that we are tried by. That's why we must consider him, because he endured such contradiction of sinners. They declared that he was not the Son of Yahweh, that he was the son of Beelzebub. He was birthed by the spirit of darkness. Yet by the power of holiness, he declared himself to be the Son of Yahweh. And by the resurrection of the dead, he got up. Now that's the strength of our doctrine, saints. He got up. Because in any religious practice, we will become very disheartened. And our hearts will become very disenchanted. But he defied every element as far as when we see one go to the grave. We know that that is the finished product of life. It is complete. You can't add anything else to that life. And yet he gave us hope that there is a resurrection and that we all shall rise again. It is not based on some mythical form, but it's based on the reality of what Messiah has done. And that is the strength of our hope, because if there is no hope in that resurrection, then all of our faith is in vain. It's vanity. We have nothing to live for, saints. Nothing else. It is not the riches of the earth. It is not the things that the earth offer us. It is one thing that Yahweh does with things. He has given every man in his inward parts a spirit to know that, regardless of how much they possess, it never satisfies the inward yearnings of a man's heart. And the reason he has done that is to show us how temporal all things are. The heart can never be satisfied with great riches, with servants, and everything that a mind could ever think of. You will never be satisfied. And Yahweh did that to show us that these things are immaterial, they are temporal, and they have no everlasting effect upon our lives. He has done that to every man. For when he breathed the breath into man, he became a living soul. And after sin, there was a product of a Cain and an Abel. And Cain brought forth sin in its vengeance against Yahweh. And so our hope, saint, is the resurrection of Messiah. And if we don't allow that to become entrenched in our minds, in our hearts, then everything else will fade away. Everything else will have no relevance at all. It will become immaterial. It will have no value to us at all. And that is what the enemy is trying to do, saints. And how we show forth that great desire to understand and to know that this resurrection of the hope of the saints is real, we show that by our love toward him. And we must love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength. And we do that by conducting ourselves in a manner that is pleasing unto him. Follow peace with all men. We must live holy. Holiness without no man shall see your way. We're not going to see him. So we must pursue those things that he commands us to pursue, that it may bring forth, and I use this expression often, his excellence. And that is his perfection. Our pure love toward him, and nothing will hamper that love. It is a love that is so pure that we lay down our lives, and we're willing to die to defend the truth of his doctrine. Now that is the pure love of Yahweh. For he so loved the world that he gave his son to show us that he would lay his son's life down to prove his love toward us. And so we do the same thing to prove our love toward him. We lay our lives down. And by doing that, then we're able to love one another, saints, as we love ourselves. And the way we love ourselves, we must love one another that way. It can't be anything any different. If we love ourselves differently than we love one another, then it's not love. We will not abuse ourselves. We will not do anything against our own physical body, so we cannot do anything against one another. It must be pure. It must be temperate. It must be a love that can be sensed, and it can be felt as well. It can be felt as well. And so we must begin to conduct ourselves in a way that it pleases Almighty Yahweh. And in doing that, then he will begin to impart the excellence of his power within the hearts of His people. He will give His Spirit to those that obey Him and serve Him. And by the power of His Spirit, then the love is spread abroad in our hearts by the Kudush Ruah. The Spirit of Yahweh spreads it to every portion of our heart, our mind, our thought, our imagination. It will all evolve around us loving Him. And us loving Him, we will desire to please Him. And in everything we'll do, we will do it all to please the Father. And that is what He desires in this hour. I want to read from 1 Corinthians. As you all dealt with the saints there in Corinth, you must understand that this people, they had deep admiration for the wisdom of the Greeks. And so they wanted to fashion themselves that way. And Saul had to deal, first of all, with the conduct of the house of Yahweh. You must understand that he is writing to the assembly of the saints. And there were some very corrupt things that were transpiring in the midst of that house. That even the son would have his father's wife. And they were doing all kinds of childish things. They would come together in the tabernacle, and everyone wanted to speak in tongues. Everybody had a word, a song. Everybody had something to say. And Saul had to deal with those things that were not bringing the unanimity of the Spirit, but it was bringing about a great divide amongst the saints of Yahweh. It was causing even those that would enter or venture into the tabernacle, it would bring about a great confusion. You would have this group speaking in tongues against that group, and this group competing against that group. And so what Saul wanted to deal with was the conduct and the order of service in the tabernacle. They were coming, and on the Passover and the day of Passover, and eating the body of Messiah and drinking the blood, they were actually consuming it like drunkards and reveling in those things. So he had to, first of all, square the conduct away amongst the people there in Corinth. And so that's what Yahweh must do first. He must correct our conduct. And he starts by correcting us because we are sons. And every one of his sons, every one of us that comes to him, he corrects us. As a father correcteth his son, so does Yahweh correct us. That we may comply with his order, walking in the type of conduct that is pleasing unto him. And there were deep dissension, as you read through Corinth. There was deep dissension amongst those that say that they love Yahweh, and that ought not to be. There should not be deep dissension and divide amongst brothers and sisters. We are of one faith. We are of one baptism, and there's only one that we serve. And we must let the same mind that was in Messiah, it has to be in us. Because that is the only mind that Yahweh actually can deal with and talk with, is that mind. And that is a mind that is submitted to the laws, the counsel, the statute, the judgment of Yahweh. That is why men today reject what he says. Because they don't have that mind. That is why men battle against what he says. Because they truly don't have the mind of Messiah. Messiah did all things to please the Father. And so when we get that mind, we will do all things to please the Father. Regardless to how it seems, we may suffer, we may be afflicted, but yet we will do all things to please Him. And the reason we do that, because we are set, we are established for a defense of this doctrine of truth. We know that this is where our strength lies and our hope lies, in the doctrine of truth. The doctrine of His resurrection is the truth. It is not some mystical type of pagan thing that transpired. It was the actual performing of Yahweh to show that He is able to give life and to show that He is able to make alive. It only comes from Him. He is able to give life, and He is able to bring and to make alive. And the things that are impossible to our natural mind, they are possible with Him. And so we must begin to, first of all, walk in the order and the conduct that He ordains for us to walk in. And that conduct is one thing, is that we must walk holy, pure, and sanctify ourselves from all of the regalia and the sinful activities of the world. We must walk free from those things. That is the first order of business. That we cleanse ourselves from all the filthy things of our flesh that tends to draw us into a place and a realm that doesn't exalt the Father. So we start with our flesh, first of all, by crucifying it and destroying those elements that oppose the laws and the truths of Yahweh. And we all, every saint has battled that one, because the flesh tends to draw diametrically opposed to the things of Yahweh, from one extreme to the other. There's no happy medium. We must go to His extreme. And yet His ways are not extreme. They are just righteous ways. They seem extreme to the flesh, because the flesh can never be content, nor can it be satisfied. I want to read a verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and then I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to speak from that somewhat tonight. Here Saul talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 1, hear this. He said, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge." He was saying to this house, now I understand that you have knowledge. We know that we all have a perfect understanding of certain things. There are men that have tremendous understanding of physics. Their knowledge is a perfect knowledge. And yet they go beyond the realm of the actual practical applications of physics. That's why there are so many inventions and things that boggle the minds of men. You think about a computer, there's nothing actually that you really can understand about that thing unless you have that kind of knowledge or mindset to know the intricate operations of that hardware. And so what he was saying, that we have knowledge, and men have great understanding of many things. And he said, what knowledge does, knowledge puffs one up. It brings about an arrogance or pride. It brings about this super exuberant spirit. And that's what knowledge does. With much wisdom, it comes grief and pain. And the more wisdom and understanding that Yahweh reveals unto you, there is much pain to that. Because you began to understand Him personally. And He wants us to understand Him in a personal way, because He is. And we can ever understand that He is our Father. As that son understands his father in a very personal way. When that father comes in, his sons understand him in a personal way. And that is how the interaction that Yahweh wants with us, although he doesn't understand what love is, he doesn't understand what love is, there is a sense and an emotion that is expressed there when he sees the one that there is total confidence in, where there is security, there's comfort, there is protection. Although their minds don't understand that, there is a comfort there, and there is a knowledge of those things. And that is what Yahweh wants us to understand and to know. He wants us to know that. So he said, now knowledge, you must understand, it puffs one up. It puffs you up. Brings about an arrogant and a haughty attitude. He said, but it's one thing that love does. It edifies. What a profound statement, that love edifies. It literally builds the heart and the mind, the spirit of a man. When one loves one, if a man loves his wife, wife loving her husband, when they get a sense of that love, It builds confidence. He will know that he will never do anything to violate their principles. He will know that she will never do anything to violate the principles of their marriage, the vows that they have committed one unto the other. And that's what love does. It builds the strength and the anointing, for Yahweh so loved the world that he revealed unto us his hope and his promise for those that he has called and elected. Now that's what love does. It actually causes one to walk in a mighty strength. If a man is assaulted by his wife, or the wife is assaulted by her husband, that is one of the most denigrating feelings there is. You don't have strength to challenge the opposition. You don't have strength to challenge that day. And when things come your way, it is almost like a defeated thing. It's one thing that love does. It builds a mighty strength in the heart of a man. When we truly love his laws, his principles, his judgment, it will build confidence in our heart. It will cause our faith to go from faith to faith. We go beyond the level of just believing. We go to the place where we are willing to die and to lay down our lives for him. And we look forward to the day that we actually and literally see him. And so we're not trying to preserve this flesh. We're trying to preserve his integrity. We're trying to make him known in this physical body like Messiah did. And so that's the strength of love. It actually builds up. It makes one strong. It produces strength. It brings about that tremendous perfection of Yahweh's truth. Or it perfects Yahweh's truth in a man's heart. That is what the love of Yahweh does. When a man truly loves his wife, is he not honest with her? What a wife loves her husband? Is she not honest with him? And that's what it does. Love edifies. It brings about a strength that I know my husband. I know my wife. I know my son. I know my daughter. He will not do that. He will not walk that way. And that is what love does. And the love of Yahweh, would he cast us away for no reason? Would he abandon us in the sea of derision? He wouldn't do that, saints. And that's the strength of love. It brings about a tremendous edification. It brings about the power of his truth, whereby it is literally perfected in our hearts. That we will walk in it. It will counsel us. It will chart the course of our lives. And we will not rebel against it. That's the strength of love, saints. It has a tremendous, profound strength. For Yahweh so loved, and he loved us so that he will not leave us to the enemy, for the enemy to destroy us. He will allow us to suffer long for him. There shall be many afflictions, but he will never forsake us. Many are our afflictions and suffering. But it's one thing that Yahweh does, because we have love toward him and trusted him, he delivered us out of them all. Not some now. He delivered you out of them all. Our afflictions may seem paramount at times, whereby we don't even know we can endure those things. But he delivered us out of them all. For his love in his heart toward us is perfect. And his love toward us edifies us and show us who he is. That we may believe who he is and trust in who he is. Now that's what love does. It does that, saints. And so what Troy was trying to do was let this house that had incorporated their pagan practices and things that they had done in the temple of Epaphroditus and their pagan type of sexual activities, he was trying to bring them out of those things that they may be established in the truth. There were many corrupt things in Coronah that was taking place. They were doing some corrupt things. Sons having their father's wives. Men were not satisfied with their wives. It was a tremendous amount of lust and incest in the midst of that place. Because they did not have the perfect knowledge of truth. They had a lot of childish ways. That's why he had to reprove them about tongues and things of that nature. Because actually the people thought that they were wild people. You walk in the tabernacle, everyone's speaking in tongue. No prophecy. Everyone wanted to do those things. It's in the book that you're holding in your hands. And so he had to show them the order of that. He had to show them the conduct of service. And Yahweh must teach us the conduct of serving him. We have brought many of our pagan elements unto this way, but they don't produce a vibrant type of life and a love toward him. And so he must teach us the principles and the course of that love. He says in the 13th chapter, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read this. And Joel speaks. He said, I want to tell you something, saints. He said, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men, I speak 13 different foreign languages. I understand many dialects, is what Joel was saying. I'm a very bright and educated man. I understand tongues of men or the language of men. He said, and of Malach or Melechim, of angels. I speak with the voice and the language of angels. He said, if I have not the pure love of Yahweh, he said, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, I am just one that do things continuously in the same mode. I do the same thing frequently. I repeat the same thing over and over and over. That's what a tinkling sound does. It's almost an annoying thing. You ever heard a little tinkling sound? Just every time you turn, you hear a little thing, just tink. There's a sound, there's a sound. You say, what is that? Where is that sound coming from? And so what he tries to let us know here, although I have great abilities, Yahweh has granted unto me great sufficiencies. Without the power of his love dwelling richly in me, then I have really nothing at all. Everything that I do is of no value. And so if we don't have that pure love of Yahweh dwelling in us, then what we do, it is of no value. Everything we do it as unto him. I don't care what it is. Your singing, your labor, your sewing, your cooking. It ought to be that he is invited, or he shall sit down and dine with you. Whether it's your doing of laundry, or mowing the grass, writing the letter, doing whatever you're doing, it ought to be that he is in the presence. And your love toward him, it is so genuine and so pure that he may receive the honor and that he may be exalted in what you do. So if we have not charity or love, they use the expression charity. I understand that. But what he is talking about, he is emphasizing the love of Yahweh. So he said, I will become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, a repeated frequency, the same thing over and over and over and over and over. He said, that's what it will be like. I may do great things, but without love, it has no value at all. Look at this. Verse 2. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, speaking by the inspiration of Yahweh's anointing, a man that speaks by the authority of Yahweh as he speaks through them, and though I have the gift of prophecy, which is a great gift, and he said, I understand all mysteries, the secrets of Yahweh. He has revealed unto me the great secrets and the hidden things that were not revealed unto the earth. For those saints in the days of Obadiah and Nahum and Jeremiah did not understand the perfect knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. They did not understand the perfect spiritual manifestation of the law. He said, though I understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, not just some knowledge, but all knowledge. And though I have all faith whereby that I could remove mountains and have not love, he said, I'm nothing. I have faith to lay hands on you for the healing and have not love, I'm nothing. How can a man have faith to do that, not love? How can we have faith to remove mountains and not love? I believe the gifts of Yahweh and the callings are without repentance. I believe that Yahweh, as a light, He anointed me and called me to serve Him. I believe before He ever placed me in the bosom of my mother, He anointed me for that. And the gifts of Yahweh and His calling, they are there and bestowed upon us. As He gives gifts unto men every day, He allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He allows the unjust to have bread just like the just. And so that's a gift. He allows the sparrows to come down. They sow, but yet they reap. And so there are men that never sow, but yet they reap. They go to the grocery store and they will buy things that are necessary for their physiological body. And Yahweh bestows life even through the eating of food and allow them to digest that. He does that for the sinner as well as for the saint. He does it for that one that is deep in the pagan worship and that one what truly, sincerely desires to please Him. And though you have many great gifts, you can do great things. We can speak great words of faith that cause the hearts of men to be challenged. And yet if we have not love, then we have nothing. And not only do we have nothing, then we are nothing. Because if we have not love, then it is not geared toward making known the one that bestows every gift and every great thing upon us. Yahweh has bestowed upon us life and health. We look at ourselves today, it is because of His love we have health and life and strength. It is not because of any good works that not one of us have done. For all of our works are as filthy rags. It has nothing. We have no good works. It is only that the works that we do because He commands us to do it, He justify our works. Even when we fall down, saints, as we all have fallen and come short of His expectation for us. We all have fallen, yet He still justifies us as being His sons. Why? Because He has placed His seal upon those that He has called and elected, that they should carry forth this profound truth of whom He is. And so what Saul was saying to those saints, you love the gift of prophecy, you have all these things, you must read 1 Corinthians to understand what he was dealing with. He said, though you have all these things, and yet you have great dissension amongst yourself, then it's not love, it's a love with dissimulation, it's a hypocrisy. He says, not pure love, and yet you stand in the marketplace and you speak in tongues, you prophesy, you have faith to lay hands on the sick, and I've seen the sick raised up by you. He said, but there is no pure reality of love in your heart. There's no true love of Yahweh there. And he said, because of that, then you're nothing. I'm nothing if I don't have that. He said, I want to tell you something, my friends. And though I bestow or I give all my goods to feed the poor, those that are in divers straits, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, he said, there is no advantage for me at all, or it profiteth me nothing. I have gained nothing. I have not gained one thing at all. The world does that all the time. They're doing things in their philanthropy ways, and they are doing things to help the poor of the world. They're feeding them. They're tremendous organizations. And they do good things and honorable things. And yet, God always said, if you do all those things, then we do all those things. We give ourselves to be burned. And yet we have not love, then that profit us nothing. There are people that will actually give their lives for someone else because of their moral character. It's not because they love Yahweh, because they think it's an honorable thing. There are those that will actually lay down their lives for others because they think it's a moral, good thing. It's an honorable thing. It's not because they have the knowledge of His truth. It's not because it is a love there. It's because it's a moral thing. It's something that will go on the epitaph, on the tombstone that David Roberts, he laid down his life for a group of folks. And yet he did not even know Yahweh. So we can do all these magnificent things. And yet Yahweh lets us know we can do it without love. We can do all these things without love. We can give, and yet no love. We can give our bodies to be burned, and yet there's no love there. He lets us know that. He said, I can do all these things. We can live with each other, and yet not even have love for each other. He warns us, let our love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. It has to be real. It has to be genuine. It has to be one, something that is heartfelt. It has to be something we can sense one from another. Not this from this one or that one. We must sense it from ourselves. We must. He wants us to love each other like we love ourselves. And if we truly love ourselves, we will not do ourselves wrong. We will not be harsh and bitter to ourselves. You will not take a hammer and bust your fingers. You will not take a chainsaw and cut off your limb. You won't do that, saints. And so if I do all these things and have not love, it profiteth me, or it profit me nothing, or there is no gain for me, or nothing for my advantage. Nothing at all. He says, I want to tell you the character of love. I want you all to understand this. He said, love, it first of all, it suffereth long. It has the ability to endure things without complaining. And we are a complaining generation. We complain, we murmur. And so the first character of love is something that doesn't, it suffers long. Wives complain about wives, about husbands, and husbands complain about wives. Children complain about parents, and parents about children. Brothers about brothers, and sisters about brothers. But he said, first of all, love, the strength of his character is that it suffered long. We count the long suffering of Yahweh as salvation. That's our salvation. Why? Because it is the strength of his love toward us. We have been a people that has sinned almost willfully. Even we have come to the knowledge of the truth because he has suffered long with us, showed us his love, he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't destroy us. Now that's love. That's love. He said, love suffereth long. It endure without any ill or adverse effects. You love because you know there's a great reward. And it tells us it is kind. What a statement. It has gentleness. It has emotions to it. It shows it in its touch, in its character. That's what love is, kind. We have to be kind not just to the ones you want to be kind to. That's just a manifestation of love, is kind. It's kind to every brother. It's kind to every sister. You don't pick a brother or sister you're going to be kind to. It's kind to everyone. You don't pick the one you're going to be nice to. It does it to everyone. See, that's love. It's kind to everyone, every brother, every sister. It says, and love, it envieth not. There is not this irritation, this invoked type of a feeling, because the brother is doing something that's honorable, the sister. And you sense that it's not you, and that you ought to receive an accolade or something, or some exhortation. That's not love. Love doesn't envy it. It's not an angry jealousy. He was letting the folks know that you say you love it, you don't really have what you think you have, Coronai. Because it doesn't envy. It doesn't, it's not jealous of one another. It's strength and love edifies. It builds up. It builds up the brothers and sisters. And we need to get that kind of love where we can build up each other. Yes, we all, every last one of you, we need that kind of love where we can build up one another in the faith. We need that. Yes, you need that kind of spirit where we can build each other up. In our homes, the wives ought to be able to build the husband up. The husband ought to be able to build the wife up. We do a good job tearing each other down, don't we? You tell about your complaints, what you don't like about her, what's not right, what's not sexy as you suppose, what is sexy. We do a good job doing those things. It's not the will of your way. And of course, you are relentless as well. You will tell what things are not appropriate, what things are not pleasing your way, ma'am. You will say things that are so vile and virulent and so corrupt out of your mouths. It's a shame. We need to learn how to give a soft answer at times. It turns away wrath. It soothes wrath. And so what he would let the folks know, you don't have what you think you have. And so I'm going to set this thing in order, tell you your conduct, and what it's going to take. Yeah, we all need this. It's a love. It never vaulteth. It never vaunt or boast oneself. That's what vaulting is. It boasts about me. I'm great, Pastor Robin. Love never does that. It is not puffed up. It is not arrogant. It is not an arrogant thing. Love is a very meek thing. It's a very subdued thing. And what we have learned to be love, it just hasn't been love. It has been things that have been passed on by our environments, as families, and what things that they perceive or they call love. And yet Paul given us a direct indication of what is love. It never boasts, it never puff itself up. Love doesn't do that. And this is a generation that's all it does. That's all it does. But the true love of Yahweh doesn't do that, saints. I want to show you this now. This is where we all fail right here. Say, it is I, Yahweh. No, all of us say, it is I, Yahweh. It said, does not behave itself unseemly. Love never behaves itself unseemly. We began to mature in love. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. And we've been guilty of that one. You can say not I, but it's I. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It is not its main objective. It's not me, myself, and I. And yet that's what the world consists of. And that's the world is spirit. We're in the world, saints. But we're not of the world. We're not of the spirit of the world. We don't do things like the world does things. We do things totally different. We don't do things the same way. And the love of Yahweh is not unseemly. It doesn't carry on in a way that is so unseemly, so dishonoring and disrespectful. It doesn't do that. Wives, when you talk to your husbands any kind of way, that's, you know, you don't have the seed of love in your heart. Husband, when you do things unseemly with your wives, you need to search your heart. You need to search your heart. You need to get in Scripture and see what Scripture says. Brothers, you all do things unseemly with each other. You need to get in Scripture. Sisters, you do things that are unseemly with each other. You need to get in Scripture. Somewhere we're missing the mark. And this is the mark. This is the conduct that we must walk in order to assure ourselves that we're doing what He says. And we're walking in the strength of His pure love. And we must do that, saints. There's no other way. And if we don't do it this day, we're missing the mark. These are not my marks. This is Yahweh's mark. And this is what He gave on the shawl to speak unto a house. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of Almighty Yahweh. Now, if you believe that Scripture was given by Yahweh's inspiration, His heart was inspired to tell those saints that. I'm glad He's telling me this, for I need it. I'm glad He's telling me this, where I'm falling short, what things I need to do. If Yahweh doesn't do this to me, I'm a bastard. If I get in this pulpit and His word doesn't correct me, I am a bastard. And I don't believe I'm a bastard. I was born naturally a bastard. But I have a father and I know my mother. And so if the word of Yahweh doesn't correct me, I am a bastard, saints. If He doesn't correct me by His word, then I'm not one of His. And so His word corrects me. It corrects my manner, my conduct, the way I walk, the way I carry myself. It corrects my heart, my attitude, my spirit. That's what the word of Yahweh does. And I want Him to correct me in everything. I don't want to become puffed up and arrogant. You don't want to become that way either. It says it doesn't seek its own. And look at this now. We know that we are very easily provoked. Easily. He says not very easily provoked. You see how sometimes you're easily provoked? Provoked to anger, provoked to wrath. You might as well say hallelujah. We've been provoked to anger, provoked to wrath. And so the love of Yahweh is not easily provoked. Not His love. Now our love is easily provoked. We get provoked fast. I've been provoked with my wife. You may sit here in your hypocrisy. I've been provoked with brothers. And say not I, then you are a hypocrite. You're on your way to hell. You don't have the sincere spirit of Yahweh. Sure you don't. Sure, I've been provoked with my brothers. I've been provoked with my sisters. I've been provoked with my wife. And I've been provoked with you. But I'm grateful that Yahweh will tell me. Now, that's not the manifestation of my love, son. It doesn't, you shouldn't be easily provoked. I want to do what's right, saints. Whatever it takes. I sat today and I fought, not in the distance, I fought as death approaches. And I know that it's a real reality. It's not that I fear it. I really don't, saints. It is an expectation that I know that's going to come. It is something that's going to be a wonderful experience. I don't know. But I know it's going to be a wonderful thing because my hope is, he said, that precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. So if I'm a saint, it's a precious thing. And I have faith to believe what he says. It's not that I have the ability to just have faith because he has called me and he has placed his word in you that you just trust in it. Although we falter, we fall, yet he cleanses us. We fall down, he bathes us, he washes us. Why does he do that? Because we have the ability to say, Father, I've fallen. You read Psalms, David, when he would fall, he would let the Father know. He had hope through his eternal truth. And that's our hope, saints. We have a promise. And we can bank on that. Yes, I put my soul on that. He said, love is not easily provoked. We all must work on that. And it thinks no evil. It doesn't conjure up evil things and think evil things. It doesn't allow evil things to conjure in its mind. It doesn't allow us to want to carry out evil things against one another. I'll get my brother back. I'll get my sister. That's wrong. That is not love. I will pay them back. That's wrong. It is not the spirit of Yahweh. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. When something is wicked and vile, it doesn't rejoice in that. It doesn't rejoice in our iniquitous ways. When we do things that we know are wrong, and we rejoice in that, that's not love. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth, in a law that Yahweh, when you know that law of Yahweh is in your heart, and it reminds you of what things that are not based and predicated upon love, it causes your heart to rejoice. And your heart is sad because of your iniquitous ways and your sin. That's what love does. Do we deal with the nation and the people today? Do they actually rejoice in iniquity and corruption and sin? Rejoice in lies and accusations and innuendos and saying things. We should never rejoice in those things. We should be careful with our words and what we say, even against a brother or a sister. You should always go to the brother or the sister. You should always. If someone come tell me something, I say, well, go to the brother. See them. We should always do that. Why? Because it keeps our hearts safe. It keeps me from forming an opinion about him or about her. That's what it does, brothers. It's our safety net. That's the beauty of it. And we should not be busybodies, gossiping. We should learn how to be quick to hear. The scriptures say swift to hear, slow to speak. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yahweh. Let us therefore be swift to hear, slow to speak. And then it tells us another thing, slow to wrath. We should be slow to get angry and revenge for anger. We should be slow. We should. Hallelujah. Give us a little feeding for our hearts tonight. It says one thing about love, it beareth. It endures, or it will carry all things. It believes all things, and it hopes in all things. And it has the power to endure all things, ostracizing, lying against you, accusations, it endure those things. It says, love never fail. That's one thing about love, never fail. I don't care what you do, how you entreat one another, if you truly got that love, it will never fail. And the love of Yahweh never fail. It never fail. It never. We get that true love of Yahweh in our heart, it will never fail. That's why when husbands and wives truly get that true love of Yahweh in their heart, their love for each other will never fail. And many of you all here, you're novice in marriage, so you really don't even understand the legitimacy of marriage. Especially you young ones and you ones that will be getting married. You don't understand the protocol of marriage. You don't understand the battles of marriage or any of those things. Everything is based upon basically an emotion or feeling. That's what it's based upon.
And your feelings, your emotions are based upon things that are fictitious and not real. Based upon things that you have learned by the way of television and these things that we've read and these soap opera books and things of that nature. So it's not the legitimacy of love. What women expect out of men, what they call love, is just something that is so erroneous. It's not based on actual, true applications of love. That trash that they have on television, that's not the reality of love. That's why that their marriage is always failing. It never lasts. That's not the application of love. These things there, Hollywood style love ships and all that, that's not love. And so the expectation of a woman, because she has not learned the man, what she perceived and how he ought to act and how he ought to walk. Yahweh made man a complex thing. He made him that Messiah will be his head. And he made the woman that whereby man will be the headship, the authority, and the rule. I know the Jezebel spirit today say not so, but that's what Yahweh did. He entrusted man to impart things in him that he did not trust woman to impart those things in him. And with that impartation of the man, the security of the woman is under the authority of the headship. Well, what does the enemy do today? Because what does he do? Because he doesn't love the Father. He caused women to rebel and to reject those things. And that's what this woman has done, what we call the assembly. She's a woman, so she has rejected those laws and the principles of Yahweh. That she can't conduct herself right. The way he commands her to conduct herself. She can't do it. It beareth all things and endure all things. Love never fail. He said, but I want to tell you something. But where there be prophecies. Now, I don't believe in the sense the way that it says it fails. I believe what this says is where there be prophecies. And all prophecies must come to pass. Where there be true prophecy, will. Where there is prophecy, we will see the finishing work of prophecy. But it's one thing about love, you will never see the end of the finished work of love. You will never see that. You will never see the finished work of love. Whether that be prophecy, they shall cease or they shall run their course. He said, where there be languages or tongues, he said, they shall stop. We see that in this hour. There was a time that everyone, when they came into the tabernacle, they wanted to speak in tongues. He said, the tongues are going to cease. You will not have the languages. You always not going to speak to every man's heart today. He said, they're going to cease. He said, whether there be knowledge, it shall all vanish away. He said, the knowledge of things we know is going to be done away with. And the revelation of his pure truth shall be delivered unto man. So the knowledge that we have known, or the thing that we perceive was knowledge, Yahweh is replacing that with the truth of whom he truly is. And so those things are shallow things now. He's revealing unto us whom he is and what he is. We've all had our thoughts of what he is and who he is. But who is he? Truly, who is he? The only way you're going to understand that, you must have the mind of Messiah. You can't understand that because a natural mind cannot perceive nor can receive the things of Yahweh. They can't receive it. And so we're going to have to get out of this natural mind. The natural mind is enmity against him. We need the mind of Messiah. We need that spirit change. He says, I want to tell you something in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that now, which is perfect, now, not him, but when that, which is perfect, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We need the perfect. Your way is love. He is a spirit. And he is love. That's the only thing that we know in our vernacular to describe him. He's just love. And that is probably one of the most purest words as we speak love in our language. There's no other word like love. I don't care what word you try to speak, there's no word like love. As we express that in our language, there's no other word that carries a connotation like love. No other word. No other word. Tell me another word, not even marriage. There are marriages without love. Now, folks that are married, they don't love each other. How can they marry without loving? How can they marry and 6 months later they don't love each other? It can't be. How can you wives, I say to all you wives, how can you love your husband, he be in your head? And you will speak things that are so injustice, so wickedly. See, what you speak to him, you speak it unto the Father. Will you wives realize that or not? I'm telling you that. Maybe you're always posing fear in your hearts. And I speak it to all your wives. From Sister Roberts all the way down. And so you can't do that. And husbands, if we know that your way has given Messiah to purchase the assembly, you can't do them wrong. You're in trouble. And that's the truth. Verse 11, he said, I want to tell all of you something. And we all have been here. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. He was letting them know their ways were childish. We have childish ways. They're childish. Things that don't bring about the perfection of his love in our heart. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became a man, I began to walk in the skillful things of Yahweh. I learned how to handle the sword of the Spirit. I learned how to handle the fruit, the temperance. I learned how to handle meekness and all that. He said, I put away those unskillful things. A child is not skillful at math. They can't add 30 plus 50, take away 10. They don't think like that. So he said, I put away childish things. So we must begin to put away childish things. Our tit for tat is wrong. Our tit for tat is wrong. You put that childish trash away. The pure spirit of Yahweh's love, it will suffer that. To suffer the wrong. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face now I know in part. But that shall I know as I am also known. He said, I want to tell you something. Now, and now abideth, and now liveth, or live, faith, hope, love. These three, he said, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of any gift is love. And that's the only way it's going to work, because we love. Faith is not going to work without love. We need to love Yahweh in order to trust him and to believe him in order for faith to work. And because we truly don't love him the way we ought to love him, then we don't see faith working, saints. We don't see hope. We don't have nothing to hope for. Everything is so dismal to us because the love is not spread abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. And the love of Yahweh must, that's the only way it's going to be spread by the Spirit, because he is a Spirit. And it must be spread that way. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. That tells us that we need his love and his Spirit in our hearts. We need that today, saints. We need that pure Spirit. In 1 Timothy, I want to read this because I'm going to close. I want to wrestle a bit tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, now the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. And that's the end of the commandment. To love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's one thing about the pure love of Yahweh. It is not hypocrisy. It is sincere. It's real. And it's genuine. And we need Yahweh to search our hearts. That we will perform. And love will perform in the conduct. As scripture says it should. If it performs, I don't care how we say we love. I don't care what I say to my wife. If I don't perform according to scripture, it is not love, saint. Because scripture gives me indication of what love is. And what it does when I get out of the realm of what scripture says, then it brings about a conviction and a repentance. Now that's what Yahweh wants for us tonight. That there will be a conviction and repentance, that we will walk according to the conduct of his love. May Yahweh bless you. Give you strength and touch your hearts now. Bow your heads. Father, I thank you for all things. I bless you in Messiah's name. I praise you for the saints, the brothers and sisters, Father. For we have all fallen short. We've come short of your expectations. But we bless you, Father. We thank you tonight for you're able to bear us up. And we know that you are able to do that. And so we commit our hearts unto you, our minds, souls, and our spirits to obey you in all things and to please you. We delight in your truth, Father. Feed us with your food. Show us, Father. Correct us with judgment. Judge the hearts, beginning in this rostrum, the pulpit. Judge my heart. Judge us and correct me by judgment and not by your anger. Because I want to stand as a son of faith. Judge your people tonight here. Those that are yours, wherever they are, judge them, I pray. In Messiah's wonderful name, that we may not be destroyed amongst the wicked of this earth. Touch every marriage here, every home, every circumstance, every brother. Let there be an accord amongst our hearts. All brethren, all sisters, all the children of faith. That when we see one another, we see you in each other. And by loving one another, we say we love you, Father. We love you. We bless you tonight and we thank you for all things. In the wonderful name of Yahshua Messiah, we thank you forevermore. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you.